Ярослав Клопот, Джинр Дубна. Please, could you expand more on what kind of experiments are more suitable for studying of mass hierarchy, of neutrino mass hierarchy?
Mass hierarchy, you mean the sign of the delta M squared?
Yes.
I mean, you can do that in several ways. One way that is very clear, but is to have a neutrino beam produced by an accelerator. You produce a neutrino mu, and then you look at a certain distance if you see electron neutrinos. To do that, however, you have to cross enough surface of the Earth. That means of the order 800 kilometers, several hundred kilometers. We have an experiment that is NOVA, that is starting now, that is maybe is sensitive enough. Will take a few years and we will know. Then we can use natural neutrinos. One experiment is Juno. Juno, if Juno will be able to reach 3% energy resolution in 20 kiloton liquid scintillator detector, they will detect the sign of delta M squared. But 3% is challenging. You have now Borexino, that is much smaller, has 5% energy resolution. In principle, having more coverage of the surface using more modern photomultiplier, you can reach 3%. But of course, 20 kiloton, if it's a box of a few cubic meters, is something. On so big a detector is challenging, but might be done. The third possibility is this, the monolith was the proposal in Gran Sasso, now is in the Indian Neutrino Observatory. It was funded, it's being built now, and in several years, this is the device, you need sort of 300 kiloton year. This thing is 50 kiloton, will be built in several years, and then in a few years you might have two or three sigma effect. Of course, if there is more money coming from international collaboration, the investment is much less than in a neutrino beam from an accelerator. This is another possibility. If we are lucky, we might have a supernova explosion, and we have LVD at Gran Sasso, Super Kamiokande, we have experiments that are ready to see that. If we are lucky, this might help to disentangle the hierarchy.
Thank you.
Just a little question myself. The title of your talk, undoubtedly given to you by Professor Zekiki, was measuring the unexpected.
Yes.
Now, you talked very much about the unexpected things in the past, but what kind of surprises could you possibly foresee in the future in neutrino physics or anywhere else?
To foresee surprises, there is a sentence that predictions are difficult, especially regarding the future.
We know all that.
Especially surprises.
But, to be honest, to be prepared for the unexpected, maybe a better way of saying.
Unexpected.
To be prepared for the unexpected, so that you could measure properties of the neutrinos that you don't really expect.
Maybe there are more neutrinos.
For instance, more neutrinos. That would be a good example. Mm.
Maybe there are neutrinos that are sterile.
But how do you design an experiment? Like LHC, they have a whole list of hundreds of particles that nobody expects. But
these sterile neutrinos, there are some so-called anomalies. These anomalies are effects of 2-3 standard deviation. The standard deviation are mainly systematic. So they are nothing. You cannot believe 2-3 standard deviations as an effect to justify something very expensive. You might do something less expensive. For example, at Gran Sasso, Borexino, you might, you should see oscillation in a short range. For example, for neutrinos of a few MeV in a few meters. So if you put a radioactive, a neutrino source, you need a few megacurie under Borexino, then you can look at the, if you see what you expect or not, as a function of the distance of the several meters. This is a funded experiment. Will be done in the next year at Gran Sasso. This is a few million euros that are funded that will be done, and maybe they will find something unexpected there.
Okay. And rather complicated things like building a detector underneath a nuclear reactor has, of course, never been done.
Or, underneath?
Well, you said you should have a detector underneath a nuclear reactor.
Oh, no, that was at the beginning of when they started. It was 10 meters under the reactor. There was already a hole, I think, in Savannah River. I think they had already a hole 10 meters under the reactor for some technical reasons.
This morning, at the end of your talk, you mentioned an atomic method. As far as I understood, it was an atomic method to sort out the question of a Majorana neutrino. And you went very fast there.
Too fast, yes.
Can you explain a bit more?
Maybe we can start from here. This is mainly this group of Yoshimura. This is an example what you do. You pump, there is this phenomenon that is similar to the Dickey superradiance, but is two correlated photon superradiance. You prepare your system shooting two beams, laser beam, in order that the sum of the two frequencies makes this transition to an unstable, metastable state. This is metastable. And you build up a coherent polarized state in your atomic system that may be several cubic centimeter big. Then the effects increase with the square of the numbers, so you gain. What can happen is that spontaneously the sink superradiate, like the Dickey superradiance, but the difference is that in this case you meet a couple of photons that are completely correlated, both in energy and in momentum. They go opposite, and with the same energy, that is half of this energy. This you don't want to happen. So you have to find a way to, and this is an unknown, I think. These people discuss of some system where there is a condensate of solitons. I do not understand what that means, but they discuss that theoretically, you can find the states in which this superradiant or stuco-related photon happens. In this case, you have a number of atoms there in the upper state. Then you make something. Then you put in two other lasers that are with the correct frequencies for this transition and for this transition. Then you excite the force the transitions to happen, and the transition might happen emitting one photon and two neutrinos. That may be neutrinos, if they are Dirac, is a neutrino and antineutrino. If they are Majorana, they are two neutrinos. Of course, in this, and then you measure the energy of this, the spectrum of this photon. You are particularly sensitive near to the threshold, because you have to produce the masses of these two neutrinos, so you have a step where you can produce below. If the photon, the energy of the photon is big, you cannot produce the two masses. So you have a spectrum that, with a number of thresholds, how many thresholds? You have six thresholds, and he is one of them, And here is in various, no, you can, for example, here, this is two cases, the two hierarchies, and the black lightness is when the lightest neutrinos is 2 mV. If you know, we know already something of neutrinos, if we assume a sign of delta M squared, and one unknown, you know the spectrum from the two mass difference that we know. So we know where the masses are. And so we know all the thresholds where they are. Also, this height of the steps are correlated with the square of the mixing matrices that we know, within a certain uncertainty. So if you measure all the spectrum, this is a way to have better knowledge of the absolute neutrino mass, of the sign of delta M square, and better knowledge of the value of the masses, because here you are working in a fraction of an electron volt. However, at this level, you don't see yet the difference between Majorana and Dirac, because that happens in an interference term that is smaller than the other one, that already is small. If you go to lower energies, transition energies, that's what 2 eV, this half an electron volt, you can see these are the 2 cases of the 2 sign of the mass difference. This, for example, is the Dirac case, and these 4 are 4 different cases of Majorana with different phases. Okay, you can go down if you, for example, you can work on the Rydberg phase, and then you pump with microwaves. All this, I think, is a very open field. Maybe it's a dream. Maybe it's not a dream.
So this experiment will be done, or is it just...
There are experiments going on in Japan. Okay. Preliminary experiments. For example, on the 2 photon superradiance, I think there are experiments. But this is a way, for example, for young people to try to exploit creativity in a new field. That is mainly atomic physics, of course.
Thank you. Are there any further questions for Professor Bettini? Yes, state your name, please.
Ivan Niesi, Centro Fermi. This is a question about the measurement of the masses. As far as I know, due to the smallness of the neutrino masses, since at least 15-20 years we switched mainly to indirect measurement, and after Ketrin, for example, we don't have any spectrometer which is trying to access directly, of course, the neutrino masses, which is, of course, understandable. So do you have any guess about any efforts which are ongoing to build better spectrometers which can gain order of magnitudes in measuring the direct mass, measuring directly the mass of neutrinos?
You mean the spectrum, the beta spectrum?
Yeah. No, I mean the mass.
The?
Yeah. Or just spectrometers.
This is not a direct measurement of neutrino mass.
No, I'm meaning spectrometer, mass spectrometers. Like
a mass spectrometer, you measure the so-called mass of what? Of electron neutrino.
Electron muon. For example, the last measurement, direct measurement of muon neutrino mass was done by Asamagan using spectrometers, using pion decays, which is really, of course, difficult.
Neither muon, electron, and tau neutrino do not have a mass. They are not mass eigenstates. They are a superposition of neutrino 1, neutrino 2, neutrino 3 that have a mass. So what you measure is a combination weighted with the elements of the mixing matrix of these 3 values of the masses. The weights are different if you take a electron-neutrino and a muon-neutrino. Now, muon-neutrino is completely hopeless. You are order of magnitudes far from what... The electron-neutrino is closer to the what you can do. There is a spectrometer being built in Karlsruhe that will be sensitive to give an upper limit, not to see it, that is around 200 millielectron volt. So they might establish that is below 200 millielectron volt. If cosmology is right, they will not find anything, they will put only a direct limit, but that was a laboratory measurement, that is not, is different from cosmology, that is indirect from cosmology. There are, in Italy, abroad, there are other techniques that are based on bolometers that have been, on holmium, for example, that have been developed nowadays. You have in this case, maybe that will become more sensitive in the future. But in this case, you have to make many of these bolometers because they are small. But this is some interesting way to study the system too. It needs development. I might be able to go below 200 millielectron volt.
May I add something to this? May I? You are referring to experiments, by, for example, by Ettore Fiorini, using bolometers, and the problem is that in order to go below 100 milliV, you need to have the end point at very low energy, so to use, for example, doubly forbidden decay, like in rhenium 187, and in this case you need to accumulate a large amount of material which has to be in the solid state, and unfortunately near the end point of the Curie plot you have oscillations due to the beta emission fine structure, and this covers shadows the real behavior at the end point. So this is one of the difficulties. On the other hand, if you can improve the counting of electrons using the new techniques, for example, in which you can count single electrons in the emission with high precision, which is used in electron spectroscopy, for example, in tunneling spectroscopies, so perhaps you may still have, you have still hope to measure in this way.
No, I'm not referring, I don't know about spectroscopy. I'm not referring to spectroscopy.
Yes.
I'm referring to specific. This is called is based on holmium. The person that is the leader is Stefano Ragazzi, and there is another group in Genova. They can. And these are bolometers, so it's not a spectrometer. They measure the energy with the bolometer. And of course, the bolometers are nice, but they are small.
Thank you. Are there any further questions, remarks? Then I would like to thank Professor Battini again.
Thank you.